Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of KFWF Radio. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California. Your stunningly stubborn, stupendous student of stupidity, Ozzy V. Hope you're doing well this week, ladies and gentlemen. We got another episode of Stupid for you, the stupidest audio program on the internet. Joining me, as always, first in the Northern Bay Area is Greg. How you doing?
Doing great. How's everyone else doing?
I'm a little peeved, but I'll get to that in a second. Dan, that's the other voice you heard from Georgia over in the South. How you doing?
Once again, doing well, sir. How are you guys?
Good. I'm surprised Todd usually comes in with a jab against you, and we haven't heard anything from Todd. He's probably too tired.
That's because I flashed him on all of these shows, and he's demoralized.
Well, speaking of that, may I say something now, Ozzy, since he wants to be on
the show? Yeah, let's do it. Todd, you have the floor.
We discussed
ding, ding, ding.
Briefly on episode 300 of Flesh Wound Radio, and that is we have a disqualification for Dan. Since Darth Vader has been disqualified for being able to do this, we also have another character from another medium that Dan picked, and that is God. How is God allowed? Obviously not a comic.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
Referee's decision is final, so I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, I never said referee's decision's final, but at the same time, Todd, I do admit I did make a mistake because Darth Vader is so entrenched in a cinematic universe.
I'm not
I understand. I know, and I get that, and I understand I made the mistake. I'm taking ownership of that.
So I
apologize, Todd. My bad. It is.
I know. I would. But I'm about to put you over now.
Oh yeah.
Because without God, his team's useless.
How's my team useless? I did great picks. I'd still win.
Okay.
No, because
I know this is very off subject, but I'm really curious, Dan. I'm not going to limit you. If you had to pick any other comic book villain other than God, who would you choose?
I haven't had time to think about it. Other than God, I'm trying to remember who else was picked.
Another fictional character.
No, I'm just because you were number
two. Oh, the Violator. We'll stay with a Spawn theme.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
It's from Spawn. That works. Well, I don't know if you win.
Yeah.
That's subjective.
Technically, if I can I pick God on this draft tonight? Because, you know, he could just. Like
absolutely not, because God is not a comedic actor or actress, and that's what we're drafting tonight. Comedic actors or actresses that we would cast to be in a comedy that we would want to see. We also have plot holes ahead returning and weird news. And if anything else, are you guys ready for the weird news?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Always. Let's get started.
Oh, yeah.
First starts in Thailand. Last week, it was reported in local media. A Thai family picked up some sushi, although on the way home, they noticed it was glowing. Like, it was glow-in-the-dark sushi. An associate professor at a local university states that it was most likely fluorescent bacteria contamination. The mother of this family was the brave one of the family who decided to try the sushi just for fun. She felt confident in doing so because she claims the sushi was boiled in water. She claims she has felt no ill effects. However, I just have to throw out there and have to suggest, if there was an effect of, I ate this glowing sushi, now I could read people's minds. Would you go telling people that?
No.
That's my point.
That's for sure.
We don't know if she gained some mutant ability power from eating this glow-in-the-dark sushi. So
this sounds like the start of a Godzilla movie. Man.
And I'm sorry, but 2020 is not the year to be trying glowing sushi.
Radioactive sushi. I was going to say it's
diet. We call it radioactive. They call it contamination. Just bacterial, fluorescent bacterial contamination.
Wouldn't it be sad if the only power gained from that was being able to read fortune cookies before they were opened? Specifically just fortune cookies.
Yeah, you know what? That kind of ability that you mentioned would have to be specifically regarding fortune cookies. Like, it's not like, oh, you could read anything that's behind walls. No. For fortune cookies, you could read the fortune before opening.
That's it.
Imagine, like, going at a Chinese restaurant, and you see a whole bunch of fortune cookies, and you put your hand over them, and you're like, hey, this is bullshit. They all say the same thing. All right, so next one, we're going to travel over to the Ukraine. Because recently, a 51-year-old Ukrainian woman was arrested for digging an underground tunnel, attempting to break her son out of jail. She had a basic set of tools and was able to dig a 10-foot-deep tunnel and had made it 35 feet towards the prison before getting caught. Even police were stunned at the amount of work that she was able to put out. She'd been doing this for at least 3 weeks. It was like a reverse Shawshank, I guess. I just, unfortunately, there was no information as to what the son was in jail for. But, I mean, I don't know what to say about this. What do you guys think about this?
Well, you know, I've heard of helicopter parenting, but not like underground trenching parenting.
I'm amazed how often that happens. When you had the drug kingpin recently that got out that way, it's just... El Chapo there. That just seems like it'd be very easy. I don't want to spoil a movie, but there's a Hollywood movie that you big one that used that gimmick. And at the end, I just was like, oh, it was so stupid. I don't know.
Big Hollywood movie. What year was this Hollywood movie released?
I can spoil it. It's old enough.
20 year is by the way, spoiler rule on this show is that if it's longer than 20 years, the spoiler rule is not in effect. So if it's over 20 years old, hey, that's your
fault. Little less than 20 years. So, So I won't break the rule.
Fine,
then.
I'll break the rule. What is it?
Law-Abiding Citizen, which was a great movie up until the twist, which was so dumb because it's like you're just destroying the world and the twist is you're digging under your cell and that's how you're getting out. I don't know. It ruined it, kind of.
Sounds like a great movie for riff tracks.
Yeah. Now, luckily, you never have to watch Law-Abiding Citizen.
Thank you. Yes,
you know, and that's
he asked for it,
and that's why there's spoiler warnings, because you don't want to get that movie ruined, because Dan would have ruined it for you. I know you've all been waiting years to see it, but now Dan ruined it for you.
You can still see it; it's very good, but then it does a stupid twist. So it's a good revenge movie. Up,
it's not like when you got spoiled on Avengers Endgame. But he had spoiled Law-Abiding Citizen.
Did you, any of you guys, because you're comic book guys. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Right.
We still got another weird news story.
Oh, okay.
I have a Florida story, Dan. You're going to write a Florida story.
You know, I don't live in Florida, but that's
July
cool.
July 27th, a Florida man printed out a counterfeit cashier's check that he was able to use at a dealership. And the dealership trusted him enough to let him drive off with a $140,000 brand new Porsche. The same man tried the same trick at a jewelry store. However, the jeweler attempted to verify the check before letting the man walk out with the merchandise. The check didn't clear, asked for the merchandise back. The man walked out. The guy calls the cops, and apparently they're already on the way to arrest him for creating the fake check for the car. Now, here's what is absolutely crazy. Is after being caught, the man says he doesn't know what he's being arrested for. As he states, it's a valid account number that's on the check. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy ate some glowing sushi thinking it was funny. Because, the kind of confidence, like to be arrested and then be able to, with a straight face, tell the cops, the account number was valid. Like, that's something. That is something else. I have too much shame to be able to pull that off.
What
has ever
about
done anything
Florida
similar like that? I think the worst thing, the closest thing I've ever done is when I was supposed to do a book report and my mom asked me if I had done it. She asked me what it was about and she had the book in her hand. She was reading the back of it and I made up a story and she says, "You didn't read it. I have the book in my hand. That's not what it's about." And I said, "No, you know what? I think I dreamt that I read it. I'm sorry." I actually used that as an excuse.
Wow.
Did it work?
No, it did not work. She was able to see through my bullshit.
She take away your SWAT gear for a week?
For those unaware, that is referencing my supposed near appearance to the human individual known as Roman Reigns. If anything, looks like me. I don't look like him. He looks like me. All right. You guys ready for a trivia question?
We are.
Okay, so
yeah, let's do it.
If it's your first time listening, I'm going to play a song after the question. It's something to do with the answer to the question. It's not going to be an obvious connection. Even if you know the answer, you might be happy that you know the answer, and that's great. try to figure out the connection because that's where the fun's going to be. So here we're in the topic of U.S. history. On March 1st, 1872, what became the first national park in the United States? Once again, on March 1st, 1872, what became the first national park in the United States? Song you're hearing, Australian Street by Sticky Fingers. And we'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer here on KFWF.
It was a real sunny day. We were chilling in the land of the Camperdown Park. Nobody had a frown. Reminiscing on the days where we used to have a blaze. Everybody came around and we laxed out on the lays. And I remember when we'd drink and we'd smoke and we'd spar and we'd laugh. And the night would just go on and on. For the rest of my life, that memory will stay. Man, fuck, that was a good time. Jump around to the sound of the music. When you feel it, the bass coming through the tremolo. Passages that seem to go real, real slow. And this is what I want, and this is what you get. Come and share a toast for all our times we recollect. From the start to these bends, we unwind out where we head. Being clever, never sweat your when forever has the wisdom.
March 1st, 1872, what became the first national park in the United States? Song had plan, Australian Street by Sticky Fingers. You guys have any guesses on the connection?
No.
No.
Okay, so check this out. I picked that song because the abbreviation for Australia is AU, which is the symbol for gold. And if you had to pick one color of the rainbow that gold most resembles, it's yellow. And the abbreviation for street is ST, which are the first two letters in the word stone. For the correct answer, yellow stone. Those not watching this video can't see I'm taking a bow. Hey, I call it a talent. I don't give a damn what you call it. But what I call the next segment is Plot Holes Ahead. A segment we debut next week where we like to have fun poking fun at movies taking specific rules that they created in their own universes and applying that to wherever we like. So, gentlemen, do you have guys got anything by chance?
I do. And this could actually be applied to multiple shows, but there's one really bad offender, which is Friends. And that is how you have blue-collar characters. Well, not blue-collar, but, you know, certainly not rich characters that have these, like, multi-million dollar apartments that they can somehow afford in these cities. It always bothered me, even back then, and I have some history with real estate. So
Chandler and Joey shared an apartment. Chandler worked, I think, for some firm, but I can't recall. It's been years since I've last seen a Friends episode. But Joey, I recall, was a struggling actor.
Yeah.
You're a struggling actor. There's no way, to your point.
You're in a broom closet like with five other dudes.
And didn't Rachel work at Bloomingdale's?
Yeah. None of them had jobs where...
There's no way they could afford apartments like that.
No. It always bothered me. I was just like, why do they have to make them so nice? Like, you know.
From all the things about Friends that could bother you, that's it.
No, but I'm on board because that was actually one of my things. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, come on.
Yeah.
She's singing about a smelly cat.
In that area, there's no way you could afford space, period.
Absolutely, I can 100% guarantee that anybody who is a huge fan of Friends is definitely not listening to this right now, if anybody's listening to that case. Moving on. You guys got one?
I got a good Independence Day plot hole. So we've enjoyed Independence Day. It's fun. But the idea that they were able to go into the spaceship and plug in a device to upload this virus in which we have to find out, oh, do you have an Apple charger or are you a Samsung charger? Like, we don't have the right charger for our own stuff nowadays. Like, do you really think they have the right plug-in to download some sort of like virus to an alien ship? I don't think so.
I think what would be more apropos is that if an error message showed up saying operation could not be executed, that's exactly what would happen. And then you'd have Jeff Goldblum pulling his hair out and be like, what the f***? There's tons of people there's tons of people that spend thousands of dollars trying to figure out the best thing to do something. They can't figure out something. I'm just going into rant I have when I have technical problems.
He should have brought
Jaden along.
Or you
go Jurassic Park and
Jaden, they wouldn't know the difference and just use him to distract the aliens for a little bit. It's like plant a bomb.
Todd, you're all right was the tone of all right that you said was the tone of, okay, I got something.
Oh, no, I had something already. But what I was going to say was it's not necessarily a plot hole as much of it's something that bothered me now. So I unplanned, I decided to watch the Beverly Hills. I decided to watch Beverly Hills Cop and ended up watching all three. Okay. Three's always been problematic, but there's something I did not notice till this time. And that was, Taggart, first of all, which was Judge Reinhold's partner and the other two, was not there. So, and that's fine. But they immediately introduce Hector Alonso's character, who is the exact same character. And like, you can tell that, I don't know if he wanted more money, he didn't want to do it. You can tell that character was written for him by everything he does, but they use like one quick little like, oh yeah, he retired and went to Arizona. Here's Hector Alonso. And and they just kept going. For horror fans, the best example would be Three from Hell taking Sid Haig's role and replacing it with what's his name? So
you mean Devils or where no. are you at? Oh, you're okay.
No.
I thought you were doing Karen Black. I'm sorry.
No, because that's the same character recast.
Yeah.
That bothered me first time. But a side note, it's really random. There's like a ton of directors that just cameo in there. You have John Singleton. You have George Lucas. You have Joe Dante. You randomly have...
I love Joe Dante.
That's why I said. And then they randomly have Ray Harryhausen sitting at the bar with a couple other people I know are
Ray
famous.
Ray Harryhausen?
Harryhausen.
Harryhausen?
Oh, jeez.
Really?
He's the one who did all the stop motion, Jerry and the yeah.
Jason and the Argonauts. Yeah. Did it right, Todd. Damn it.
Yeah.
Dan's upset.
I know. He's a big sci-fi thing.
It's fantasy side. Fantasy, not sci-fi.
Okay, now I'm upset I mentioned it. But yeah, so that was my issue with Beverly Hills Cop 3.
I like it. You guys remember Small Wonder?
I love it.
Show? Yeah. Where a robotics engineer made a robot and made her a girl, but the robot started at age 8, appeared to be an 8-year-old, and he somehow was able to program her to age exactly how a child ages. This is robotics aging like a child in the mid-80s, but we couldn't even get a color computer.
Well,
I mean, maybe instead of working on a robot to be your personal slave, how about working on getting us iPhones before that? I mean, well, it just practically had an iPad in her back with all that circuitry and stuff like that.
Well, Vicky was 4K. Very advanced, so calm down.
I'm calm.
No 4K. I think we all had some good beefs.
I love this segment. I'm glad we're doing it. If anybody's listening, feel free to chime in. What are your plot holes that we can talk about or pet peeves and something that caught your attention? And we'll do that. We'll bring them up. But right now it's time for another question. This one's going to be the topic of the NFL. Todd, right up your wheelhouse.
All right.
What two different quarterbacks have had their numbers retired by the Miami Dolphins? Once again, what two different quarterbacks have had their numbers retired by the Miami Dolphins? I'm not looking for the numbers. I'm looking for the actual quarterbacks. The song you're hearing is Let's Get It Started by MC Hammer. We'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer on KFWF.
Be rewarded by beating
What two different quarterbacks have had their numbers retired by the Miami Dolphins? Cyan playing. Let's get it started by MC Hammer. You guys have any guesses on the connection?
No.
I didn't even know Miami had two good quarterbacks.
Well, much to your chagrin, so check this out. Let's get it started by MC Hammer because the letters that the song starts with and the artists start with are L and M, which if you convert to numbers using the A1Z26 cipher, L is 12 and M is 13, which are the numbers of the correct answers, respectively, Bob Greasy and Dan Marino. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Stupid, ladies.
I appreciate that.
Welcome to Stupid, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure some of you out there didn't know that Miami had two good quarterbacks, so there you go. All right, so now it's time for the draft that we have this week. We'll be drafting living or dead actors or actresses that we would want to cast for our own comedy. Order we have for this week will be Dan, Todd, Greg, and then myself. So, Dan, you have the first pick. Dead or alive, who do you choose?
All right, so you guys always make assumptions about me that you know what I'm going to do, that I'm going to pick.
No, we don't know. Our assumption is we don't know.
You can listen back at every single episode and every pick. We always have the same reaction. So
you think it's going to... I'm
excited.
Something obscure or God or something. Okay. Well, just you when you think you have the God answers, I changed the questions. My first pick, which I know would have been on one of your lists, is Bill Murray.
All right.
Classic.
Good pick. Not on my list.
That's a surprising pick. Featured on our Caddyshack. Well,
yeah.
Technically not featured on our Caddyshack graphic, but also did star in Caddyshack.
Genius comedian. Yes.
Absolutely. Love him.
There we go.
Great pick. It's a solid first pick. Congratulations on that. You really did throw me for a loop.
Everybody knows him.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah. Well, it's only pick one, so give
him
a minute.
That's true. We still need the three others. Todd, who do you got?
I'm going with Dave Chappelle.
Really?
Ooh. No.
That's a good one. I just wasn't expecting him to go this soon.
I was worried about him going.
That's fair. That's fair. And sorry. By the sound of Greg's reaction, sounds like he was hoping...
Was that your first round?
No, not at all. But not saying anything bad about Dave Chappelle. He wasn't my first round, but I was at least hoping someone would make my first pick easier by taking someone that I want, you know. And now you got to play this game because I have Ozzy picking two after me. So I really got to worry what will Ozzy pick and what won't he pick. Gosh, I think I'm gonna go Eddie Murphy.
Ooh.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy. He's always solid in stand-up, he's solid in his movies, fantastic comedian. Even his return to SNL was fantastic. But Eddie Murphy, hands down.
I went back and forth with him and Chappelle. And I actually have noted down pre-90s Eddie Murphy.
No, Todd, I'm sorry. You're taking Holy Man Eddie Murphy. That's all you get.
Well, I don't. Not me.
Okay. Pluto Nash, maybe.
So that leaves me. And one I have to take first, just because I think he's a living legend. That is Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, would be the first pick. I'm glad he fell to me because that would be the first pick I would have. I love me some Jim Carrey. And then for my second pick, I'm picking somebody who made me understand deadpan comedy as a kid. It's funny, Jim Carrey, I have the cartoon. He was the mask, Ace Ventura. He was the slapstick humor. But there was an individual who, as a young child, I would watch and I realized this is deadpan humor. And this guy is the best at executing it. And that is Leslie Nielsen. So Jim Carrey and Leslie Nielsen, polar opposites, but still, like I would love to see them together in one. So
he plays like Jim Carrey's like senile dad that keeps getting him in trouble. It writes itself. Good movie.
But I think there could be some great stuff. And Jim Carrey, and even Leslie Nielsen, because before Leslie Nielsen became a comedic actor, he actually was a serious, dramatic, you know, would look for these serious roles because he had,
Forbidden Planet.
Yes, Forbidden Planet. That's exactly, he played like that classic hero because he had that look. And Jim Carrey, I mean, I don't need to say much about Jim Carrey. He's classic. So
no, great picks. Oh gosh, there's parts of me that like it's one of those things. Like, do I pick who's my number one, or do I take chance and pick someone else, hoping that my number one will come back to me? And I think I'm going to go with one of the funniest men of all time. You don't even need to write the man a script. It is Robin Williams. Robin Williams, Eddie Murphy, 1 and 2, let's go.
Damn, that's a good one.
Don?
Yeah. Well, I'm going with the one I mentioned last week because I don't want it taken. And we've never had these two together, and that would be Richard Pryor.
That's what I was kind of hoping to come back. Didn't think it would happen. But
well, to be fair, you should have took it because last week I mentioned him when Ozzy said it was only living people. So I thought he was going to be gone before it even came.
That's great. All right, Dan, who's going to be with Bill Murray?
You know, it's interesting. You guys are going more, a lot of stand up, like their best stuff was stand up, especially.
Leslie Nielsen.
No, not Leslie Nielsen, but you're picking a lot of stand-up guys. Pryor's best work was stand-up, so it was Chappelle.
Okay, no. I disagree with that. They're both probably two of the best stand-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Their film work's just as good.
Absolutely.
Chappelle didn't really do a lot, though. You know what I mean?
He didn't do a lot. Well, that's like
What he's in, though, he is just as effective as when... It's okay. For example, the movie Screwed, right? He has one line... And me and a buddy of mine always reference this line because he's off camera. This is a point when he's in a jail cell and two other characters are talking. And then right before the scene cuts, you hear him say off screen, "My dick hurts," which he was such a minor character, but like the way he built his character and the what he was saying at the time, it just made everything fit. And then seeing him in that interrogation scene as well, if anybody listening hasn't seen Screwed, I know you might read the premise and be confused and be like, what is this? Trust me, you gotta watch it. It's such a great movie. I love that movie.
So do I. Underrated.
Underrated 100%. But Dan, you still need to make a pick.
All right,
Dave Chappelle and Richard Pryor, by the way, all the movies with him and Gene Wilder. First ones I saw was Hear No Evil, See No Evil, which the premise of that was absolutely brilliant. And Brewster's Millions was a great movie as well.
We did leave out Superman 3, so I'm slightly offended.
Get out of here! Superman 3 isn't real. It's a figment of your imagination.
If you watch that as a Richard Pryor movie, it's hysterical. True story.
Therein lies the problem with Superman 3, is that, you got to see it. No, you're watching it for Richard Pryor. You're not watching it for
Superman. Is there any other reason? That drug Superman, sorry.
Bizarro Superman. Anyway,
all right.
Dan.
So, since I'm the only guy that apparently thinks that women can be funny, I am going to take a modern pick and take... This is somebody that I will watch something that she's
in. I know he's going with.
Aubrey Plaza. Who I love.
She was actually on my list, Dan. I have to admit, she was on my list. I didn't think she'd be picked up.
God, Little Hours. She's always hilarious. So I could see her doing some good stuff with Bill Murray. Is this a two-pick for me now?
Yes,
it is.
All right, Aubrey Plaza. And with that, I am also going to take an actor who I think doesn't really get enough credit. It feels like he's somebody people have not forgotten about, but Damon Wayans, who is always hilarious in everything, doesn't get the respect he deserves. Maybe it's because they never made that Homie the Clown movie, but
I think with him, it's a case of most of his best work is in sketch comedy.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
He's some good movies though too.
I'm not saying, but they're not memorable. No one's still talking about Mo Money.
Bulletproof.
I was literally just thinking Mo Money. That's great.
Who are you to deny the effectiveness of
I'm going to watch Mo Money like this week. I just got the Blu-ray. It's doubled up with High School High. I'm enjoying that stuff.
Nice.
There you go. So,
all right, Todd.
This is where it gets difficult for me. Well, one, I lost a main one. But there's like borderline ones here that I'm like, these are
who was – was it Aubrey Plaza or Damon Wayans?
No. I already lost Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I see.
But you know what? Shit. There's so many I'm trying to save, I don't know. But you know what? This is the one I'm going to do. And to keep with the Caddyshack theme, I'm going with Rodney Dangerfield.
Ooh. Yeah.
Sorry. all right.
Not watching the video, Greg, just
– Can we take –
I'm just super happy right now because I thought you were going to say what I didn't want you to say. I'm going to keep them together, and I'm going to get Gene Wilder to be together with Richard Pryor. So since you did not, I will take Gene Wilder to be that, kind of calmer side to everything that can go a little crazy, because I think I have some high energy between Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams. So to counter that with some great reactions, hands down, Gene Wilder is my third pick. I think of one already. Sorry, Dan.
I like it. And especially me pointing out hear no evil, see no evil. It was Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Right.
Yeah. That was great. And now I realize that Leslie Nielsen probably would have made it back to me.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Dang it.
Oh, yeah, you would have.
That's a reach. But at the same time, he was like, from a childhood, it's like, oh, I can't leave without him.
I didn't want to lose Dave Chappelle, so I went first with him.
No, I got
so
you.
I get it.
I got you. Okay, so this one I had on my list, and even though they're modern, everything I've seen them in has been brilliant, and I think they could really bring a lot, and that's Kristen Wiig. I think Kristen Wiig is fantastic and everything she does and absolutely hilarious really stands out, like, just in general from everybody versus, you know, just like being a gender. I'm not being stupid Dan here and be like, well, this is, I'm the only one that thinks maybe give me no.
That's why
stupid. No, I think she's funnier than a lot of current people out there right now.
Also great dramatic actress too.
And okay. So, and then with exactly. Yes. So with Jim Carrey, I got the slapstick. With Leslie Nielsen, I have the deadpan. Kristen Wiig is somebody who can do everything, I feel. And with this last one, I know that they've already... I have two in mind that are both modern, but I know that I got to pick one, and it's tough. And I'm going to go with somebody who can also do deadpan and slapstick, Steve Carell.
Oh, good pick.
I think, yeah. Steve Carell is one who when it is actually stronger when it comes to comedic films versus sketch. Because back old school Daily Show, when it was Steve Carell, Ed Helms, and Stephen Colbert, I felt that Stephen Colbert had, not that he was bad, it's just they were all really strong. It's just out of those three, when it came to this style, Ed Helms and Colbert were more effective than Carell. And Carell needed like a character he can work on and really work with and meld. And that's how, you know, The Office with Michael Scott, he was able to make that his own and really explore things. So I think, and this is a guy who can really look at a character and really unearth some things that some people might have not seen. So to round out my crew, Jim Carrey, Leslie Nielsen, Kristen Wiig, and Steve Carell.
It's a solid crew. That's solid crew.
Definitely, yeah. That sounds like fun. You just saying it's. I know it'll never happen, but man, that's fun. All right, Greg.
Man, so admittedly, Aubrey Plaza was my fourth pick. I didn't think anyone was going to pick her. Not to say that she's fourth in line, but like, I did. I was going to hold out for that, thinking
you're playing the draft.
Yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, that's out the window. So I'm torn between two wonderful actors. One's more modern, the other is not. But I think I'm going to go with my gut, with my true loves of his films and his acting. Because I've got a very outgoing, crazy Robin Williams, loud but very smart Eddie Murphy, and the reactionary Gene Wilder. I think you need someone a little less in the front, you know, of everything to kind of balance things out. I'm going to go with Rick Moranis.
Mm. Solid pick.
Got to bring him out of retirement.
You know, he's not retired. That's the tough part. But him in Strange Brew, I'm sorry. I loved him in Strange Brew. I had some other that I think personally are maybe funnier actors. Maybe I'll mention them afterwards. But I just feel like he is a great person to set up for comedy, you know, to round out the team.
Yeah, I like that. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Good picks.
Todd?
Is it me or Dan?
No, it's you.
All right, this is the one I had the hardest with, but yeah, I'll mention the other one later. And I'm still going back and forth between these two. Son of a... I'm going to go with Ed O'Neill.
That's solid.
All right.
That is a good pick.
I'll tell you what the other one was later, what I was going back and forth on. So.
David Faustino?
Although Grandmaster B was the man.
I wouldn't have given you shit for Faustino.
There's only one movie I can recall Ed O'Neill in, like as you like Ed O'Neill in, you know, because I know he was in Wreck-It Ralph, but it was the movie Dutch.
Dutch. That's a Dutch, great Thanksgiving movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a
Wayne's.
Yeah, film. I never thought of it as a Thanksgiving movie, but you're right. It could be considered a Thanksgiving movie.
He was also that Rick Moranis football movie, wasn't he? The rival coach.
Yes. He was also
Little Giants.
Little Giants. Okay.
Little Giants. Okay. All right.
He was also in Disorganized Crime, another good one with tons of. It's an ensemble piece.
Oh, okay.
So, Ed O'Neill. Fred Gwynn, Lou Diamond Phillips. There's tons of late 80s.
Gotcha. All right, Todd.
Cool.
Give me the final pick.
You mean Dan?
Sorry, Dan.
Dan.
I'm insulted.
No. all right. I've got the vets, Damon Wayans and Bill Murray. Would love to see in a movie together. I've got Aubrey Plaza because I love everything she's in. And
the
specifically,
Last Boy Scout. I was trying to remember a movie with Damon Wayans. The Last Boy Scout.
He's always
in Last Boy Scout. I like that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Awesome.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go on.
Specifically to see him interact with Aubrey Plaza and the vets, but specifically Aubrey Plaza. I'm going to take an actor in a very specific role too. From the View Askew universe, Jason Mewes. Just to see him
nice
on screen with Aubrey Plaza, with Bill Murray and Damon Wayans, I feel like there's something interesting going
so
there.
So I think you would want to take Jason Mewes as the J character in your movie.
Yes, only because I want to see her singing a certain song that I won't repeat outside the thing together.
Okay. All right, so to finish out your team, Bill Murray, Aubrey Plaza, Damon Wayans, Jason Mewes, Todd, you have Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, Rodney Dangerfield, Ed O'Neill, Greg, you got Eddie Murphy, Robin Williams, Gene Wilder, and Rick Moranis, and I have Jim Carrey, Leslie Nielsen, Kristen Wiig, and Steve Carell. All solid picks. Some honorable mentions, feel free to jump in, but some that I had that, you know, just didn't end up working. Madeline Kahn, Charlie Sheen, and James Belushi.
Really?
Wait, Jim?
Oh, okay. No, those
John
are the same
Belushi.
One.
Sorry.
John Belushi. I like James Belushi. I'm like one of the only people who does.
Well, screw James, I guess.
No, that's what I'm saying. I like Jim. I like Jim Less James. No one else brother. Does. But that's
well,
me.
So he was. So a funny story about Jim Belushi. Greg, I think you might.
Jim or John, the living or dead one.
The living one.
Okay.
I was the honorable mention was for John.
Okay.
John Belushi. But in terms of Jim Belushi, so according to Jim, was on ABC, right? They had an episode that featured a costumed character. Where the costume character got assaulted.
Yes.
And they were promoting at the time, in order to get people to California Adventure, they were promoting ABC's fall lineup, according to Jim. And then, like, one of the first episodes was him punching a character.
Yeah. Yeah.
My parents.
And it's like, those are the exact same.
Me too.
I mean, not that anybody's listening, but these are the exact same costumes that I see at Disneyland, and this guy's literally punched one. So.
I'll have to tell you my Pinocchio story one day, next time we do something Disney-related.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind. Guys, have any honorable mentions?
You know, yeah, for sure.
Oh, go for it, Greg.
Go ahead. Okay.
Oh, no, that's
so
go.
I will I'll go ahead with... I mean, obviously, I love Kevin Smith. I have to give him an honorable mention. I think he's a better writer than he is, like, a comedian for comedic acting. But the ones that I really, really wanted to get in there that I thought about, Lucille Ball is fantastically funny. Carol Burnett, fantastic. Steve Martin, of course, Martin Short. And the one that I was thinking about recently, because I just don't have enough of him yet, but what he's shown is fantastic, is Taika Waititi. That guy is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jojo Rabbit. He was really good in that.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what amazes me? That none of you picked this guy, because I would have sworn for as many times as he's referenced, Danny DeVito. I'm a little surprised. Sunny in Philadelphia comments. I would throw out also Steve Coogan, who Hamlet 2, one of my favorites. James Franco, who's also underrated as a comedic actor. He's done a lot I've really enjoyed. Will Forte, another one. That would be some of my honorable mentions.
I was waiting for, which is, I almost pulled a Dan because I was going to say Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, which probably would have confused Ozzy.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? How does that confuse me?
I don't know. Is that too
Shaun
like
Shaun of the Dead?
Okay. Well, okay. You don't like that genre.
No, I don't like horror. I like comedy. And Shaun of the Dead was more comedy than it was a horror.
No, it's 50-50.
It's so hard.
But then it's a horror parody.
No, it's not a parody.
They're
because
ripping
the
out his guts.
No, stop. I'll tell you why it's not a parody. It's not a parody because the zombies are never treated as a joke. They're always treated seriously, and they always act seriously. That's not a parody. It's a horror comedy, comedy horror, either way you want to
but
do it.
But you don't
it.
Think they're making fun of the genre in that movie?
They, not really. They take everything seriously when it comes to it. But, you know, that's not the discussion for right now. So
Lone Star takes Dark Helmet seriously.
It's not the same because the characters are coming from a joking place. The zombies are always treated seriously. Dan, what's a zombie movie where the zombies aren't treated seriously? Return of the Living Dead is one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
So it's not that Liza Moore parody than this. Okay. But I know all you right. want it to be parody because you love parody and that's your favorite, so you're trying to include it. So here is name.
I would concede no more than 65-35 comedy to horror for Shaun of the Dead.
As you just mentioned, the gut-ripping scene, which is 100% horror. So, but whatever.
No, it's 100% comedy because it's ridiculous. Nobody would still be screaming as their intestines are being pulled out. They would be dead by then. They would go into shock. They would not be able to say
anything. Okay, I understand what you're going with logic, but that's how it is in horror anyway. No. But what I'm saying, it's not a parody. Calm down. Dave's getting excited.
Jordy,
why? Because I look like Dave, or what's his face? The banana guy from Star Trek? Because I'm holding my head.
Jordy LaFleur.
Because I can't even look at you, Todd. You're not even making sense.
No, if you let me finish, because in horror films, that's what's happened, and it's not being played as a joke. And it's doing the exact same thing as a horror
film. But it's a joke inherent. Like, it's its own act. If somebody's not actually dying like they should, then they're making fun of dying in this method.
Not necessarily, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Okay. Fair. We'll have a debate on that.
Okay, that's fine. I do need to rewatch it, so I'm down. First I'll say Chris Farley was another one on my list kept, but the one, like, this is the two between Ed O'Neill and the other one, which I don't know how it's going to land, but my other one was Don Knotts. So
that's a solid.
A great pick.
Because I was like, you got the two old guys and then the two others. So I was going back and forth with him and Ed O'Neill.
Should have gone Don Knotts.
I see, that's what my gut says too. I just wanted to make Ozzy pop with Ed O'Neill.
Of course, we would be doing a disservice if we didn't mention Will Ferrell, at least as just an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was the one I was choosing between Steve Carell and Will Ferrell. Those were the two. The reason I went Steve Carell is because I feel Steve Carell can do a more committed character role than Will Ferrell can. Like Steve Carell will play him true to life and real, whereas Will Ferrell will play the cartoon version of a caricature of a character. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you while Carell can do that as well, I feel I would want in a movie, like the movie I want to see would be everybody playing their characters real and then seeing what happens as they play their characters real. So,
you know, Carell's range. Yeah, he's got good range. Have you watched Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which starts funny and then gets kind of serious? It's really good. I watched it during quarantine.
Can't say that I have.
A recommendation there.
Can say that I have is a trivia question. This is the final trivia question of the week in the topic of music. Since the award was first introduced in 1996, what artist or group has the record for the most wins for the Grammy Award for Best Rap Album? Once again, since the award was first introduced in 1996, what artist or group has the record for the most wins for the Grammy Award for Best Rap Album? The song you're hearing, Got to Give It Up, Part 1 by Marvin Gaye. And we'll be back in a couple minutes with the answer right here on KFWF. We'll be right back. since the award was first introduced in 1996, what artist or group has the record for the most wins for the Grammy Award for Best Rap Album? Song you heard, Got to Give It Up, Part 1 by Marvin Gaye. Do you guys have any guesses on the connection?
I don't.
Not a clue.
No.
Okay, check this shit out. I picked the song because of the name Marvin, and I previously expressed my love for Looney Tunes, and Marvin was known to be a Martian, as in from Mars. And Mars is also a global manufacturer of confectionery, pet food, and other food products, and a provider of animal care services whose most popular product is, or are, M&M's. For the correct answer, M&M. Yes! Yes!
There
Ladies
we go.
And gentlemen, we've reached Full Stupid, and we'll be back next week with some more stupid. Feel free to leave us a comment. Tell your friends on wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We also got a Patreon where you can watch some of the clips that we're doing between the scenes. You can check that out at patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Todd, Dan, and Greg, say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
And of course, oh, so sorry, I almost forgot to thank Sunset Trivia for powering the questions that we had. And of course, I'm Ozzy V. We'll see you next week, and we're going to send you out with the theme to Caddyshack, I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins. And we'll see you next week right here on KFWF. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Do a little naturally. But if it's too easy, you're gonna disagree. It's your life. Isn't it a mystery? If it's nobody's business, it's everybody's game. Got to catch the day. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Who do you want? Who you gonna be tonight? Who is it for? Do.